And God's been dealing with me since 2 o'clock this morning about this subject. Hebrews chapter 9, well, I want you to look at verse number 11.
Oh, yes. I love it.
I want you to stand to your feet for a moment. That way you can get some blood circulating. Look at verse number 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, by the blood, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption.
Hallelujah.
For us. For the blood of bulls and of goats and of asses and heifers and the sprinkling of unclean, sanctified and purified of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God.
Amen.
Now, I want you to look at verse 22, and you can be seated after this. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. You can be seated. Father, I love you. I bless you for your great kindness and your wonderful leadership. Thank you that you set this house in order through the songs of our God to remind us, Lord, it's under the blood. I bless thee, O God, for your multitude of your kindness and grace. Please anoint thy servant, give me great liberty and wisdom, and help your people bind every demon, every devil, and move in power in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I marvel at how God, the preacher said it a while ago, about it ain't only up to the pastor to follow God, but it's up to the people. We sometimes feel like that we have some kind of hold on what God's doing. But I want to remind you where the Spirit of the Lord is. Thank God there is liberty. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we have this hope in us. We have indwelled in our body the temple of the Holy Ghost living within us. He'll lead you. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will speak to you. And I'm so grateful he began speaking to me last night. I've never been here before. It's almost like a blind date. I didn't know what it's going to be like. I knew he's saved. I knew y'all better be saved. And I knew he's from Tennessee. That helps a little bit. But when you cross the Ohio River, it's a whole lot different, honey, than what it is on the other side. Just remind you that. And that's no slighting anybody. It's just fact. And we love all people. And I found out that the Bible said, whatsoever state you in, therewith be content. So I'm content to be in Indiana. And I'm blessing the good Lord for that, all right? And I know Canaan's across the river over where the bluegrass is at. I know that. But one day we'll all get to heaven and it'll be wonderful. Won't that be right? But I want you to notice that all the singing this morning pointed to the blood. And I knew when you sung the first song that God said, it's right, it's what you got to do. And so I want to try by the grace of God for the next few minutes preaching on the subject, the gospel according to the blood.
Amen.
The gospel according to the blood. Amen. We're living in days in which we have social gospel.
Right.
We have a gospel that has been so cheapened and so lacking the power of God that men want to offer it to somebody like it costs absolutely nothing. The gospel according to the blood is a very valuable and priceless, the Bible said, with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing to scoff at. It's nothing to laugh at. It's nothing to make light of. It is a very precious thing in the eyes of Almighty God. The gospel is the power of God on the salvation. There's nothing that can help me or you or mankind outside the gospel of the blood.
Amen.
It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, honey, or it's nothing.
Amen.
You can try to work your way, hope your way through, hang on and hold on, but it'll get you nowhere. But if you ever come in contact with the power of the gospel that's been bought with the blood of the only begotten Son of God, it will make a definite change in your life. Let me introduce what I'm talking about. You consider the Bible from the book of Genesis over to the book of the Revelation, you will find out it was God's plan and purpose and God's pleasure to make a way for fallen humanity, not by man's works of righteousness, but by the shedding of an innocent lamb, an innocent animal, a sacrificial lamb, if you would. God said in the Bible, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The scripture plainly says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God said he'd given it to us upon the altar. From Genesis to Revelation, you will look throughout the course of your King James Bible, no matter where you read it, no matter where you stop or start, you've got to find an avenue of the vein that runs you to the blood. God never intended for man to lift himself up by his own bootstraps. You see, God teaches us that. He tells us that. God has only one way for fallen mankind to be reconciled to God, and that was much like Adam and Eve when they covered themselves with those fig leaves or whatever you want to call them. When they try to cover themselves up and hide themselves from that, their conscience was not purged.
Well, right.
But when God made for them a skin,
yes,
something had to die.
That's right.
Some blood had to be shed.
Amen.
And God told the story in the book of Genesis that it's a blood redemption.
That's right.
It's a blood gospel. It's a bloody book. It's a bloody redemption.
Yeah,
it's the only way. It's the best way. It's God's way.
Yeah,
and I'm thankful to God that no man can bring a prize or a gift or an offering. It stings in the nostrils of God. But you and I heard some of you say, you're glad for the mercy of God that God showed the people over in Indy. And you're glad for the mercy God showed you. And if we all went back to where you started from, where you come from, we could find what you used to be. But when I go before a thrice holy God, and I bring up to God what I used to be, my sins and my iniquity, God chose to remember no more. I can't bring them up. It's no record of it anymore.
Right.
What happened? Well, it's the gospel according to the blood.
Right.
It ain't according to works and what I'm doing. It's according to the blood of God's Son.
Right.
Now let me take you somewhere. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Unto him, now notice the Bible. Unto him that loved us, there's a comma. That means stop and think.
Yeah.
Now unto him.
Yes, sir.
Not only unto him, but it says unto him that loved us.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, God loved me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But I'm thankful Jesus loved me.
Right.
Now unto him that loved us. Now notice Revelation 1:5.
Yeah.
And washed us from our sins, how? In his own blood. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I remember when my children were young. I remember when my wife would have to try to clean them up. It ain't fun when you're watching your wife try to clean your children's ears and clean their little faces. But my kids are slow in learning. Take after the mama side. My youngest daughter liked chocolate cake. It was so bad that we gave her one piece. She wanted more. She was just tall enough to reach on the countertop, put her little hand inside the pan, pull it off into the floor. Now you're not just going to wipe her little mouth. She's sitting down in the pan.
Oh yeah.
The cake's in her, the cake's on her, it's everywhere, it's in the floor. And she stands up running through the house with chocolate everywhere. Naturally, my wife has to do something. She has to take it upon herself to either let chocolate get everywhere and let everything stay everywhere and stain everything, or she's going to have to choose to do something about it. She had to bathe her. You know what the terminology wash means? Just like a mama would put a child in a little, you know how you used to have to wash them little. You can't just let them lay in it and flop around in it. They could drown themselves. You know what happened to me when I got washed in the blood? I had to be put in it. And he had to put his hands on it. And he had to begin to bathe. Is anybody hearing me? God bathed me and washed me. Jesus Christ done that in his own blood.
Yes,
he didn't wash me from filth and dirt on the outside. He washed the inside of me while clean and pure and white from my old sins and transgression in the blood.
Amen.
Now notice your Bible. It seems to me that when you consider this thing about Jesus saying, and the Bible said that he entered once into the holy place with his own blood. Now, how did that blood get out of the body into the basin and be able to be put on the mercy seat? We fail sometimes to remember that. The first Adam, here's what you got to know. The first Adam had a body, but he had no life. The first Adam, are y'all hearing me now?
Yep.
There he's formed. There's a form. Jesus took upon himself the form of man.
Right.
Is Adam laying there? Adam's got to have a brain. You have a body. You have a brain. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. Stay with me now. When you look at the first Adam, he had to have life given to him.
That's right.
You look at the last Adam. He needed a body. How did he come? He came by the virgin womb of Mary. Now he has a body. He's got to have a brain. He said, not my will, O God, but thy will. He's 100% God, but he's 100% man. He took upon himself the form and became a servant to you and I. Made of himself for no reputation. There he is in that body. When you think about the body has no function unless it has a beat.
That's it.
There has to be a beat. Adam's body laid there, everything's there, but there was no beat going on. Why was there no beat going on? Because it had no breath.
That's right.
When God inhaled and put his mouth over the face of Adam, and exhaled into him the breath of life.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That moment, God knew this life is going to bring my life to death. So he exhaled into Adam. Adam becomes a living soul and looks up to the God of heaven. Now he's got a body. Now he's got a brain. Now he's got a breath. Now he's got to understand what moves through his body and keeps him alive is the blood.
That's right.
Flowing through the body of the first Adam, the heart pumps for the first time.
What?
The lungs expand for the first time. The eyes open. And the first thing he sees is the face of the living God. When Jesus Christ came in this world by the virgin womb, I don't know exactly the moment that he breathed in his body for the first time. But when he did, his heart began to pump. His blood began to flow through his veins. You understand that you know anatomy. The blood does not come from the mom's side. The blood comes from the Father's lineage. Now in the body of the Lord Jesus, the last Adam, is the gospel according to the blood. Hey, Abraham, look behind you. What am I looking for? Do the lad no harm.
That's right.
For this I know thou lovest me. There's a ram caught by his horns in the thicket.
Right.
Offer him up in the stead of thy son.
Yes, sir.
But on mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God didn't have another sacrifice. The sacrifice for you and I. Jesus had no escape goat.
That's right.
He was the only. He's the only way. And when he climbed on top of that old mountain called Golgotha, the place of the skull, they laid him down on that old rugged cross. And the blood began to flow out of his body.
Right. Yep.
When I see the blood.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Mm. Yeah.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know how Adam died, the first Adam. I don't know where he was buried. I don't know anything about all of that. But I know about the last Adam.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Amen.
No man takes my life from me.
That's right.
I have power to lay it down, and I got power to take it up again.
Amen.
When he laid his body down on that old rugged cross, he could have called down 10,000 angels. But he chose to offer himself for you and I. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? There's that fella that was shouting and praising God a moment ago, holding that little beautiful girl. Can you imagine? Have you ever seen her bleed? Have you seen her hurt? Have you heard that curdling cry that moms and dads hear? Yeah. Mama! You know if it's fake or real. And you ease over to take a look. You examine and you check and you find out, oh, they're not hurt. They're just upset. Brother, when you see them hurt.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Here's what I know you say. I wish I could take that pain. I don't want to see them hurt. Let me read something to you. Revelation 1:18. You ought to mark it. I'm going somewhere. I am he that liveth, comma. That would be enough on its own. God did not keep us there. Jesus didn't keep us there. He got something to tell you. And was dead. How did he die? By what means did he die? By what means did life leave his body? He said, I was he that is alive, liveth, and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Think about that. You got a comma there. Then here comes this glorious statement. Amen. Hallelujah. That would be enough. Look at verse number 18. And have the keys. That's in plural.
Yes, sir.
Notice where he said he had first.
That's it.
I used to think it said death. I've misquoted it a few times. But brother, he said, I got the keys. Hell. This is the gospel according to the blood. Jesus had to conquer hell. He suffered all hell for all eternity for any sinner that would go there.
Right. Amen.
That will not leave his soul in hell.
That's right.
Yeah. Nor suffer him to see corruption. I know that rattles a lot of chains. You mean to tell me Jesus could buy redemption without suffering what it would be like? Oh no, son. He had to pay all penalties. Now come here. What is so important about this? Have the keys of hell and of death. Now, where's that put me and you? I'm going to give you three things right quick in this introduction. Three vital places we must find and keep up with the blood. Preacher in Leviticus. The Bible tells us in Leviticus 17, verse number 11. That the blood yes. must stay in the veins. You can have a perfectly healthy body. You cut your artery. You get nicked in an artery. Yes. Around your neck or somewhere in your body, you're going to bleed out and die.
Right.
Nothing wrong with your brain. Nothing wrong with your body. Nothing wrong with your anything about your life, but the vein has been cut and the blood's leaving.
Right, that's right.
First thing they try to do when they come on the scene, they gotta stop the blood.
Right, that's right.
They gotta stop the bleeding. If they can stop the bleeding, they can find a way to fix what's left. May I remind you that you'll find the blood in the veins. Thank God it was in the veins of my mom and dad. Today I've got blood flowing through my body. given from me, from my parents, and from God. And I'm alive right now because I got blood running through my body. I say to you that you got to understand that if you want to keep up with this, look at Hebrews 9:12.
Yes, sir.
We got to keep up with the blood. You want to know where you find the blood? Preacher, I often wondered how. There, when he was in the garden, he sweat as it was, great drops of blood.
That's right.
He was in so much agony that the Bible compared that to drops of blood. But when you get over to Pilate's hall, it's not as it was. It begins to be. They begin to spit on the face of the Son of God. Right. Sir, I don't know you, but I know this much. I think I know. If I was to walk back there and spit in the face of one of your children, everything about your man position and your fatherhood would raise up the same.
Right.
You know, sir, it wouldn't be, I wouldn't advise you to do that again.
Yeah.
A band of soldiers, ladies and gentlemen, stay with me.
Yeah.
Spit in the face of God's Son.
Yeah. That's right.
They bowed the knee and they mocked. And they began to slap his face. Has anybody ever busted your lip? Anybody ever hit you? Your mama ever pinched your jaw? She probably wrung it a time or two. Probably needs to do it again. Now, she can do it. But you let somebody else do it. I don't think y'all caught up with this slow train yet. I am taking you somewhere.
Yeah.
As we're journeying through this, the blood had to be put in a basin.
Right. That's it. Yes, sir.
How, brother, can it fall from his body and wind up in his hand?
Yeah.
Mary, don't you touch me yet. I'm not ascended up there yet.
Right. Yeah.
You cannot defile my priesthood.
Right.
But I'll be back.
Amen.
I'm coming back.
Right.
What you got there, Lord? Well, it ain't much.
That's it.
To some, it's just nothing. But yonder in glory,
yes.
My Father's a watching down here.
Yeah, that's right.
When I see the travail of his soul, I will be satisfied.
Well, that's right.
He carries so carefully. Went up to heaven. Did I read that to you in Hebrews?
Yes, sir. By his own blood.
Went in how many times?
Once.
What did it do?
Holy place.
He goes into heaven.
That's right.
With his own blood.
That's what it says.
He enters behind the veil.
Oh, yes.
We got to keep up with the blood. It's in the veil.
Right.
Now it's behind the veil.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
What can wash away
It's over.
My sin?
He that had it in the vans now has it behind the veil.
Well, hallelujah.
How did you do that a while ago? He jumped up because I thought he was going to hurt himself. Now, once you get it behind the veil, what benefit is it? You've got to go to Revelation to find out what it's about. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him who? Slewfoot.
That's right.
Satan. By the word of their testimony. That's what the preacher's trying to get y'all to do all the time. Your testimony. Why you do that for? That's resounding and rejoicing and reminding.
Right.
What is it reminding me? I overcome him.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
By the word of my testimony and by the blood.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Yes. You find it in the victory of the saints.
Amen.
It's not up there dormant and dead. It produces something. Now, that's introduction. Now, here's the slab of meat.
I've been cooking it a little bit.
First thing you got to know about this blood, it had, according to what I read in context, to be shed.
That's right. That's right.
Let's go back to the Villa Della Rosa. Let's go back past the common hall. The blood and the spittles dropping down off the face of the Son of God. Don't you know that I can presently call down 10,000 angels?
Right.
As it drops off of his face. Why did he go to Calvary? Why would he suffer so much agony? Why would he say, "Let this cup pass from me"? He wasn't afraid of dying. He wasn't afraid of losing all of his blood or giving it all. He did not want to become what God hated. So you what would cause this man to drive from Tennessee up here to these fields above Indianapolis? Drive back and forth. He told me he drove back and forth. How many hours one way?
About six.
6 hours one way. Preach 6 hours back home. Go to work. What would cause a wife to want to follow him and say, "There's one of his daughters"? You know what you're doing, Dad? Is this what God wants, Dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say. The only thing that can cause a man to walk away from a career and family and come to people he don't even know. Jesus looked down through time. He saw Victory Independent Baptist Church and a sheep having no sheep. The only thing that's going to change that condition is if I give it all. Nobody stopped the bleeding.
That's right.
Nobody ministered aid to him.
That's right, preacher.
Nobody came and said, "We're sorry you hurt so bad." They cussed and they swore and they mocked and they jeered. Shall I tell you about the cat of nine tails? Shall I tell you about the whipping post? I think I might ought to tell you. Two ways they love to do it. They would tie their hands, preacher. And they would stretch them to their toes only touch the ground. You ever clean a catfish? You ever skin one?
Oh, yeah.
You ever watch it flop and jerk?
Yeah.
Bone and glass, stone. Chunks of flesh come. His visage was so marred it didn't look like a man.
That's right.
Remind you, there's a Father up in heaven that could have stopped at any moment.
That's right, preacher.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
That's right.
Amen.
How did you do it, Lord? We make heroes out of people, and rightfully so, when they give blood transfusion for people with leukemia. Go through a lot of pain to give them blood. You've probably been and donated blood in your lifetime, but you didn't give it all.
That's right. That's right.
What little you gave helped somebody to live, but God wouldn't let him give a little. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ cried out, "Father, forgive them."
Yes, that's right. That's right.
The first thing you understand about this gospel of the blood, it was shed. Secondly, I want to say to you in verse number 22 of Hebrews 9, you will find out that it saves.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes.
It saves. The most phenomenal thing that I could ever discuss with you about and tell you about. My wife got born again and right in the middle of a fight on an airport road on Halloween night. I had just told her, "I don't love you. I'm leaving you and I'm done. I don't want you or the kids." Somebody been by my grandparents. We was playing rook. And said, "Now repeat this prayer," sometime earlier. "Repeat this prayer. I'm a sinner. Lord, save me. I don't go to hell. I'll go." You believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Nothing ever happened.
Right. Oh,
that's right.
Nothing
right.
happened. She'll tell you nothing happened.
That's right.
But that night, around 7 o'clock on November, it was October 84, right in the middle of me telling her, "I'm leaving you, I don't love you," she says, this is what she said, I remember, "Lord, I can't take it no more. You've got to do something for me."
Heaven.
All of a sudden, she looked at me, tears are gone. She said, "I just got saved. And you do love me. You're just full of the devil. You need to get what I just got."
Amen. Hey, man. That's good.
Now, don't tell me a woman can't testify she did.
That's right. Preach.
No more going to bar. No more strawberry daiquiris. No more mixed drinks. We're done with that.
Preach.
Preach.
I'm trying. Remember, I'm from Kentucky, so please give me a little slack. Now, from that moment to where I'm taking, I was a mess.
We had six people working for us. I had a Hall & Oates hair bob job. The mullet. Anybody remember the mullet days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God help.
We owned a barber styling shop. Had my own makeup line, own shampoo and conditioner. Had all them people work for us. I owned tanning beds. And I cut lawyers and doctors and all the business people and all the rednecks had. I even put hair pieces on. And the profession is called a rug. It's better than the comb over. Wind gets up, it weighs at you. Come around with a swirl in the back and spray it down. I fix all that. Stay with me. Now, I decided what I'd do is be real polite and red honeymoon sweet. Say to her, we'll fix things up. I'm sorry. Well, it didn't work. You can't turn over new leaves and expect anything to change.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
You can't make yourself reform to righteousness. It don't work. But God had a plan. She got to praying, God had saved me. And God sends a little bald-headed preacher into our barbershop. And he waltzes right up to my booth, pushes the little doors open, walks in, jerks his rug off, throws it on the back bar, and says to me, I need a haircut. I say to myself, if you'll raise both arms, I may find enough hair to cut. So I said, I found out that he's a preacher. I said, I'm like, this dude cuss. I don't want this guy around here. Put him in my shampoo bottle. I'm telling you about the blood. Laid him back in that shampoo bowl. Got the water so hot, it burned my arm. I burnt the top of his head. He didn't cuss. He didn't get mad. He said, that's a little bit hot. Something got hold of me when I said that anyway. Then I said, I'll make him cuss.
Yeah.
I got the hair cloth and I tightened. He said, that's about too tight. I loosened it up, but did he ever for more cut loose on me? You mind if I read this word of God to you?
Amen.
While you cut my hair? I started throwing hair on his Bible to get him to shut up. He brushed it off, and he kept on reading. And the more he'd read, the more the tears would fall. And the more God would get off of that page and get a big jackhammer and bust up in my heart. And when he got done with him, he tipped me $100. That was a miracle. I don't know any pastor that has a $100 bill. You believe a preacher gave me a $100 tip? He said, I'll see you later. I'm thinking, I hope not. He went to his church and they got a little prayer room and they put our name on the prayer list and they got to pray. And folks like you sitting here testifying, shouting long ago, got to carrying their Bible and tracts like you're going to do down at Indy.
Yeah.
They came to that local barbershop. Every one of them wanted a haircut. I'm thinking, my God, what is going on now? All of them tracked me. You ever track somebody? I'm thinking, what's going on here? In November 9:45 on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
I made a preacher late for church. Knocked on his door and I said, Barry, I need some help. And he said, I cannot help you. I said, my soul, you mean I'm so bad the preacher can't help me?
He said, that's exactly right. I can't help you nobody. No other preacher can help you.
That's exactly right.
He said, your problem, you've been looking to men all these years.
Yep.
You better quit that. I said, well, let me tell you what's going on. He said, if you tell me, I'm going to tell everybody, so don't tell me. I won't hear it. He was my friend, I thought. I said, well, what am I going to do, Barry? The gospel according to the blood.
Yep.
He said, I got a friend. There's my wife and daughters in the car. They've been crying. They've been in a fight. This is Sunday morning. I was supposed to be in a honeymoon suite. I wasn't. My wife come and picked me up, and now I'm at the preacher's house. Is anybody here?
Running away with you. Amen.
He said, I got a friend. I reached for my keys and I started to the car. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go wherever he's at. He said, you're not going nowhere. He's here. I said, I don't see nobody. He said, he's right here. I said, what are you talking about? I said, his name. He said, his name is Jesus.
Amen.
If you'll get down right there and tell him everything you want to tell me, that's all you got to do.
That's it.
Amen.
That'll work.
I said, what did you say? He said, get down right there and tell him what you going to tell me.
Right.
And I did. And I was so afraid that he wasn't going to accept me. And he didn't love me. Because I was so unworthy. And I said, Lord, would you please? That's all I could get out. And before I could get it all said out of my heart, I got up crying. I got up laughing. I got up excited. I felt like I took a bath on the inside. I felt like clean. I felt like the lake's gone. I looked at my wife. She's beautiful. I looked at my kids. I said, wonderful. I said, let's go to church.
Amen.
We wound up at the church and the preacher was in second gear, by like your preacher earlier today, trying to pull a load. Now let me say this to you. I'm in my skinny jeans. I can't help it. I had my wife's earring in, a ear, couldn't help it. Had her necklace on around my neck.
Oh.
And I had the mullet hair bobbed up. And I'm a mess, crying. He's preaching and I just stand up and wave.
Amen.
And I just kept looking at him. He looked at me and he looked at me and I looked. He said, can I help you? I said, can I say something? Now, I pastored. I've done many tent meetings. You don't give somebody to the floor.
No,
you don't know.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
He said, yes, sir. About that time, preacher, I got to talking about what I just told y'all. And there's a little old grandma on the front pew. Had a big old black purse. You remember when purse grandma had? The little handle's about that long. Had a big old brass thing that she snapped between little deals. And when she snapped, it sounded like you'd open a single barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
I'm going to load her up. Right. I thought, my God, what is. I knew what that sounded like. She reached in her purse. She got the phone. I thought she'd going to get a pistol. She goes, I don't know these people. And she gets a big old diaper. It was a handkerchief, looked like a diaper. And she goes, it pops. Then she starts doing this. I thought, my God, she's doing the helicopter thing. And I'm talking, and I'm just crying my eyes out. Her grandson back in the back stood up and said, Mamma! I need what he's got.
Amen.
Now she's not sitting doing this. She's standing up doing this stuff.
Well,
they say, I know she's around the church. I thought that poor woman's going to kill herself.
I didn't tell you about my raising. I don't want you to think I don't love my parents, my dad, family, but we weren't raised in a Christian home. My dad was World War II Navy. He joined when he was 16 and a half. Now, you just didn't mess with James Arthur Thompson. If he liked you, he'd give you anything he's got. If he didn't like you, he'd kill you. That's the way it was. He bootlegged. Yeah. Tough. I watched him shoot his brother one day because his brother owed him some money. Like a 9mm, pow, 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 pow. I stood right there when the shells come out. I said, are you crazy? He said, if I wanted to kill him, I'd done shot him. I just want some money. Whatever, Dad. Well, my sister married a guy by the name of Kenny Strader. She married him because she always wanted Daddy just to hug her and tell her he loved her. He wasn't that kind of guy. If he felt like he had to do that, he would feel like he wasn't doing his job. So Kenny was, they lived rough. One day they'd been in a fight and left Eagles, the Eagles Club. Daddy's home from work. And Dad just got his bath. My sister opens that screen door and opens the door, runs into the big living area screaming, he's going to get me, he's going to get me, he's going to hurt me, he's done hit me. Well, you got to know Dad. Ain't nobody hitting my daughter. Gets up with flame out of his mouth, that fire. Eyes, that big ram, death in his face. He catches that boy when he comes to the door, proceeds to beat the food out of him, drags him out to a maple tree. He's so mad at him, he's a hold of that maple tree, jumping up and down on his face and on his chest, kicking him with work boots as hard as he can. Then he drags him by his arm across the gravel to his pickup truck, and behind the seat he carries a 9mm. He said, I'm going to kill you. You're going to leave this world right now. Pulls that 9 out, drops his arm, puts one in the chamber, picks him up, and sticks it right in his mouth. All of that because he hurt a daughter.
Yeah.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. The Hebrew writer said, how much sore punishment suppose ye be thought worthy who trodden under the foot the blood. When you reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's worse than what happened that day. You know what he done? Shaken and had that safety, snapped it off. Guess what saved that boy that night? Daddy would have went to the pen the rest of his life. I had a brother who happens to be a son of the father with a weapon in the mouth. My brother goes over to my dad and says, Dad, don't kill him.
Yeah.
Let him go, Daddy! I need you. I don't want you going to jail. Don't kill him. He said, boy, look what he done to your sister. That's my daughter. I'm going to kill him. And my brother said, Dad, you'll have to do it right here and be watching. And I remember to the day I died that you killed a man. He said, go away. He said, I can't. Get out of here, boy. No. I can't let you do it. Yonder in glory, the righteous God of heaven looked down and said, you have crucified the Prince of Glory. Yeah. You are doing that to my son.
Right.
I hear the son say, hold back your wrath a little longer. Don't do it. Let me work in their heart. Let me deal with their heart. I want to forgive them. The righteous God of heaven said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You say no to the blood of God's son. There'll be nowhere for you to hide from escaping the wrath of God because you rejected the blood of his son. Stand to our feet. God bless you, preacher. You got somebody on your heart you'd like to see get saved? You got something you'd like to see God do here in your church and in your church family, in your family? Only thing I can tell you I'd do, I'd get on my knees and thank him for saving me. And I'd say, Lord, not right. Don't take their life. Don't judge them. Please don't cut them off. Please touch their heart. Please help me to reach them. The preacher's coming. You come, preacher.